18. Psalms 18. The heading of that psalm, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Verse 3 said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to gather together this morning, Lord, and come into this place to worship you. Lord, we thank you for the songs that's been sung, the good Sunday school lesson. Lord, and I pray now that you'd go with us into the preaching hour, Lord, that you just ever give us the liberty and the unction, Lord, that we stand in need of, Lord. And God, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for your loving us, Lord, and for giving your life and shedding your blood on Calvary for our sins, Lord, and giving us this privilege that we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth today, Father. Go with us now through the remainder of this service. If there's anyone watching by the way of the webcast that may not know you as our Savior, Lord, we pray that this might be the day, Lord, that when it may be discouraged, Lord, we never know who's watching. God, I pray that you'd encourage them, Lord, and I just pray that your will would be done here among your people, Father. Help us, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to continue the thought that we've been looking at now for the past several weeks on seeking God. And I want to look at the thought this morning on seeking God who is worthy to be praised. Seeking God who is worthy to be praised. And we've mentioned that man's main objection in life is to glorify God. God has revealed His glory to us, and we are to respond to that glory by giving Him the glory that He deserves as God. Everything that is created and brought into existence is to glorify God. And one way we can glorify God is by and through our worship this morning. There in verse 3 again, he said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemy. And I believe that God desires our worship this morning, and we're to worship Him and Him alone. He said in the book of Exodus there, chapter 34 and verse 14, said, For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And He warned Israel many times that they were to have no other gods before them, that He was the only true God that deserved their worship. And He alone this morning is to be worshipped, but is also to be worshipped in the right way. I believe there's a correct way and there's a wrong way that you and I could worship God this morning. And Jesus, in confronting the woman there at the well in John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, he said, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we find that our word worship comes from two words, words worth and the word ship, which means worthiness. And to worship God properly this morning is to declare God's worth. And we find this, I believe, from His Word as we look into different passages of Scripture. We find out what the worth of God. I'm going to tell you this morning, God is worthy of our worship this morning. As we look around and we see this world and the things that's going on today, and what a privilege it is to be a child of God this morning, and to be to hold up Jesus and to hold up a God to this God-denying world that we're living in. and we find that He's worthy this morning of our worship. I don't believe that. I think I've said this a lot of times. I believe there's a lot of things we can do too much of. Preaching is not one of those things, but I don't believe we can do too much of worship. I believe the more that we worship, the closer we get to God. Hey, the more glory we give Him in our lives for the things that He's blessed us with and the abilities that He's given us that we can function in this world that we're living in today. He's worthy of the glory that we can give no matter what may be in our lives. But I want to look at three things this morning. And number one, I want to look at determining God's worth. Determining God's worth. So why is God worthy of worship and praise this morning? I believe, number one, because of His character. He's worthy of our worship and our praise this morning. And we find that several things about His character. And I began to look up some of the things about the character of God last night. Number one, I know that God is great. I mean, His character, He is a great God this morning. Above Him, there's none other. There may be some gods that this world is worshiping today, but can I say that our God is great today? Job chapter 33 and verse 12, he said, "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man." Can I say this morning that God by His nature is holy, good in everything that He does. God has never done anything that wasn't good. Hey, because number one, I believe because God is great. I mean, above everything else this morning, that God is good today. And He gives us the good things of life that benefit us. It's a good thing that we're able to function and be able to come to the house of God and assemble on a Sunday morning and worship Him and give Him glory, give Him praise for what He's done and what He's accomplished in our lives. And I'm glad that He's a God that is great. He's a God that's good. And He's a God that is impeccable this morning. I mean, He's free from fault or blame today. Hey, there's nothing that we could put a finger to. And it's because of His greatness and because of His goodness this morning, because of His holiness this morning and His impeccable character, that He's free from fault or blame. There's nothing in this world that's happening in our lives, hey, that you can put the blame and give God the blame for. Hey, man is a free agent, moral agent this morning. He has the right to choose, and time he don't choose the good things that God has given us to live in our lives and to conduct ourselves. Not only is God great and God is good and God is holy, but can I say this morning that God is light? Today, as we look around and we see the things that's going on, but can I say this morning that God is light and He sheds light on the things through His Word that He gives us in our lives, that we can find the things that God has blessed us with and the light that He sheds upon our lives. By coming to Sunday school, we find out things through the Word of God that He has given us the light to walk and to live our life in this day and hour that we're living in. So God is worthy this morning of our praise and our glory that we can give Him. He's impeccable this morning. Not only is He impeccable, free from fault or blame, hey, but let me say He's immutable this morning. He's not capable or susceptible to change. This world is changing. Men are changing. You and I may change, but we serve a God, hey, that's impeccable and immutable in His character, and He's not changing. Hey, He's designed the way that we're to worship Him, and I believe that's the way that we're going to have to worship Him if we get the approval of God and if we're going to be a blessing to God and give Him the glory and the praise that He deserves this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22 says, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39 said, "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, Hey, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Psalms 86 and verse 10 said, "For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Psalms 118 and verse 28 says, "Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee." And can I say, He is immutable. He's always deserved our praise. He's never lied. He's never forsaken us. And He's always promised that He would be there. And He's worthy this morning of our praise. Not only is He light, and the light of the Word of God shows us and tells us how we're to worship God. I think as there is a right way and there's a wrong way. Not only we see that God is light, but we see His righteousness. He exists in a state of perfectness. There's nothing that we can find that's wrong with God. He's perfect in every area of life that we may encounter. Not only He's righteous, and I'm going to just run through some of these. He's just. I mean, He's a fair God. He's perfectly upright and fair. How He treats His creation in every realm of His perfectness this morning and justness. I'm glad that God is fair with you and I today. We can't never put a finger on a God and say He. A lot of times we have children would tell their moms and dads, say, "That's just not fair. You're not being fair to me." Hey, but can I say that our God in heaven, in His character, He is fair to you and I as individuals. He won't do for one what He won't do for another. He won't do for one generation what He won't do for another generation. Hey, I'm glad that we're serving a God this morning that is a just God. He's a fair God this morning. Not only He's just and fair, but He's loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's kind and merciful. And I've got verses of Scripture. We're not going to go there this morning. But we see not only part of God's character is faithfulness. He's faithful. When we are unfaithful, hey, I'm glad that God is faithful. It says over in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 13, if we're unfaithful, that He remaineth faithful. And if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. And I'm glad today that God is a faithful God. Not only He's faithful, He's truthful. Hey, there's no falsehoods or lies about God. Hey, what God says is absolutely reliable this morning. You can take it to the bank. Hey, I don't care how many years ago that it was written down in this Bible that God breathed upon those men that penned it down. Hey, I'm glad that God is absolutely reliable in whatever He said and whatever He's promised you and I. Not only He's reliable, but He's patient and long-suffering this morning. Hey, I'm glad He's long-suffering, aren't you? Hey, I get weary sometimes of individuals. I get weary of myself even as I go through this walk of life. But I'm glad, hey, that we're serving a patient God. Hey, I'm glad that He's long-suffering, that He's not willing that any should perish. I mean, if we was in control of this thing, and we've already mentioned probably times what we would do if we was in control. Hey, but God knows exactly what this world needs. He knows exactly what you and I need. He knows exactly what this church needs. He knows what you need in your family. And I'm glad, hey, that His patience is long-suffering in our lives. But determining God's worth. Why is God worthy of our worship and praise? Because of His character. Not only that, but because of His creation. Number two. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Psalms 148, verse 5 said, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." Psalms 19 and verse 1, the Bible said that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Hey, why is He worthy of praise this morning? Hey, because of His creation. Hey, He created this world to glorify Him. I could just imagine, I thought a lot of times of seeing this world before it was touched by man. Seeing before man had corrupted everything. Could you imagine, hey, the United States before a man come over here and started settling, all the roads that's been cut, all the communities that's been developed. Could you imagine the vastness of this land and what it might have looked like? The waters were pure, the rivers were clear. Hey, the mountains were standing in the distance. I mean, they'd been untouched. There was no houses surrounding in places, but it was just a place that God had created for His glory, for His honor. And I'm glad this morning He's worthy of worship because of this world that He's created, and He's allowed you and I to come into existence and be able to live and to function here. Hey, to see the S-U-N come up every morning for all these years, for 68 some odd years here that I've lived, and I've seen the sun and felt the sun's warmth and the coldness of the change of the season. Hey, God created this mud ball that we live on, hey, to be inhabited, and until He gets through with it, hey, it's going to glorify Him, and it's still a beautiful land, even as touched by man and mankind. He's worthy of worship and praise this morning because of His creation, because of what He's created. Hey, man's not going to change all this. They can talk about climate change and global warming and all these things, and we've got to be honest. I mean, weather is different than it used to be. Hey, but things have been going along since the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hey, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Hey, things have been going on ever since God created. It's going to continue to go on until the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and gets you and I out of here. Hey, we're going to have what we need to inhabit this world that He created for His glory, to bring Him honor and praise this morning. I'm glad I've lived to see and lived on this earth that we call home. And I can see the glory of God when I've walked in the North Georgia mountains, when I've walked in the Rocky Mountains in the West. Hey, when I've drove across the plains, and I can see the handiwork of God. Hey, I can look at the firmament between the heaven and the earth, and I can see the glory of God in the stars and in the moon, in the sun, and everything, the birds that flies through the atmosphere, and what God has done. Hey, He did it for Himself and for His glory, for His honor, and He's worthy this morning of our worship and our praise. Not only because of His creation and His character, but because of His compassion. Because of His compassion. You know, my compassion runs pretty short sometimes, Brother Chris. I get fed up real easy with things that's going on today. And as I look around and we talk about these things that's taking place today and what's going on in this world. But I'm going to tell you, hey, God is a God that's full of compassion. Hey, we see God's worth, I believe, in the beginning, in His creation, but we further can see His worth after the creation. One of the most moving scenes, I believe, hey, that we could say in all the Word of God is the fall of man. He put Adam and Eve in a perfect place. I mean, He put them in a perfect environment, perfect temperature. Hey, they didn't even realize that they were naked. They were innocent, in a state of innocence. But yet, hey, the serpent, the devil come and they deceived Eve there and bade her to eat of the tree of life there, a tree of good knowledge. They eat of that tree and she gave it to Adam. He willfully partook of it. They had fellowship with God. Could you imagine having fellowship with God on a daily basis? Hey, the God that breathed Adam out of the dust of the earth and made him a living soul. Adam knew he was in trouble. That's why he went and hid himself. He went and hid from the face of God because he knew that God was coming that day. And he knew he had already sinned and he had already messed up and he knew that he was naked. But it's God that comes walking through the garden calling the name of Adam. He's the one who takes the initiative. Hey, he's the one that takes the first step towards reconciliation during that time of sin when sin entered into this world. And sin plunged upon all mankind. The Bible says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin passed upon all, for they all have sinned. And it was because of that one sin there in the Garden of Eden, hey, that death passed upon men. And from that moment, Adam and Eve began to die. And ever since then, men have been dying. But it was God that took the initiative, even though they had sinned and they had went against what He said, a God come walking through and He said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam. And Adam, ashamed, he said, I've hid myself because I was naked. And God said, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And Adam was guilty, but yet God, in His great compassion, He put forth and had the initiative had to come looking for Adam. Aren't you glad that He came looking for you and I this morning? Hey, I was lost and on my way to hell. I knew I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And I'm glad that God came to me many times that I can think back. The Holy Ghost dealt with my heart. But because of His compassion, hey, because of His compassion, we're able to come and gather here this morning. Hey, we've probably sinned enough this evening, hey, that we ought to be marked off, this week. But yet, hey, God, in His compassion, He's allowed us, allowed us to repent of our sins, get right with Him, and be able to come in and worship Him in spirit and in truth this morning because of His great compassion. Psalm 78, verse 38 said, but He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yet many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. Can you imagine the children of Israel? You read Psalm 78 and you can see just that one psalm. You can see how they treated God and how they murmured against God and how they wanted to even go back to Egypt, where the leeks and the garlics were. Yet God, being full of compassion, He dealt with them there in the wilderness as they wandered around. He provided them a manna to eat. He provided the quails. He provided the water out of the rock. And yet they murmured. How so like we are today. We murmur and murmur about what's going on. Hey, why we're not seeing anything done. And yet we're not doing nothing. Yet we blame it all on God. Psalms 86, verse 15 said, but Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalms 145, verse 8, the Bible said, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. You know, our anger is pretty short sometimes, ain't it? We fly off the handle. But God's not like that. He's a God that's full of compassion. Now, I'd have to say He's probably getting sort of fed up with all this stuff that's going on. Hey, they got His attention there during the time of Nimrod when they was building that tower. Said, we'll build a tower to heaven. Hey, it got God's attention. He came down to see what was going on. Hey, I sort of wonder sometimes, is God, were we getting God's attention today with all this stuff that's going on today, this wokeism and all these crazy things that we're seeing develop and come to pass today? But I'm glad He's a God that's full of compassion. He gave Noah and the people of Noah's day 120 years He sent preaching. Said, judgment's coming, it's going to rain, there's going to flood come. Noah warned the people, and no doubt they laughed Him to scorn the things that was going on during that day. But yet, For 120 years, God was long-suffering because he was a God of compassion. And even after he destroyed the earth, he gave the symbol of the rainbow that he'd never destroy the earth with a flood again. And we see the rainbow in the sky, and we can see the compassion of God, of how he destroyed that time that Noah was living in there, and those people of that day. And he put the rainbow in the sky that he would never destroy the earth with a flood again. And we can get the assurance that the God that we serve, because of his character this morning, that he'll never destroy us with water. Don't matter, it may rain. We might think it's flooding and it ain't going to never stop raining, but it'll stop. Because we have God's promise on it. Because of his compassion. He's compassionate. He knew man before he ever created man. He knew where this thing was going to end up. Hey, because he was so full of compassion, he's allowed us to live here in 2023. Can you believe that? The things that's going on? Because of his compassion, he's worthy of worship and praise. And number four, because of the cross. Because of the cross, he's worthy of worship and praise this morning. We see it was the purpose of God. The Bible tells us that in the mind of God, hey, Golgotha, Calvary was there before even the foundations of the world. Hey, God looked and he knew before he created Adam that Adam was going to fall. He knew that there was going to have to be a place out there where he was going to send his son. He's seen the cross through the eons of time, and that his son was going to have to die to atone for the sin of man. We look at the cross and we think of where we should have died. That should have been our cross. That should have been our death. And yet God, in His infinite mercy, His compassion, His love, He designed the cross that you and I could have the forgiveness of sins this morning. Hey, it ought to make a Presbyterian shout. John 19, verse 17 said, "And he bearing the cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." We see that because of the cross, he's worthy to be praised. It was the purpose of God even before the foundations of the world. It never took God by surprise. We see it was the provision of God for you and I, that we could have our sins forgiven. All those Old Testament sacrifices, those pictures, those types and shadows of the death of those animals and the altar that they were slain upon. It pictured the cross that would to come and the Lamb that would ever, forever take away the sins of the world. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Revelation 5 verse 12, the Bible says, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hey, I'm glad and thankful for the cross, and because of the cross this morning, hey, He's worthy of our praise and our worship as we come and gather at the house of God. And as we leave from this place and we go to our own home, hey, we ought to be faithful in this matter of worshiping and praising God and giving Him the glory. Hey, when we think of the cross and what God did for you and I, it's not only was the purpose of God, the provision of God, but it was the power of God. I'm glad there was a transaction took place there on Calvary. That because of the power of God, sinners ever since that day have had their sins forgiven simply by faith. A place in their faith and taking their place as a sinner and placing their faith in the cross and what the work of the cross that Jesus did and accomplished there that day. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which believe it is the power of God." Hey, I'm glad there's still power in the cross today. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There's just something about when we hear the preaching of Jesus being placed on that cross and lifted up, hey, it just draws men and women, boys and girls, hey, that otherwise they have no hope without coming to the cross and trusting the Lord Jesus. You're not going to bypass the cross and go to heaven this morning. Hey, you're going to have to come by the way of the cross if you're going to go to heaven this morning. But we see here the determining God's worth. And then we see number two, the demonstration of God's worth. Demonstrating God's worth. How do we demonstrate that which we know this morning? How do we demonstrate that which we know? By our profession. I mean, we need a time. We need a time where we can go back to, where we can call that place where God dealt with our heart, where He drawed us, where we come to that place of repentance in our life. We need a time. That's the first step that must be taken to show, hey, that God is worthy this morning of our worship and our praise and to give Him the glory for what's taking place in our life. Hey, without Him, we would have no salvation. Without Him, we would have no profession. Without Him providing the things that He has provided, the cross, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed there, hey, we would have no profession. We must possess and profess faith in Him this morning. Hey, if we're going to have our sins forgiven and be able to demonstrate God's worth in our life and what He did, not only by our profession, but number two, by our participation. We show God, we demonstrate His worth to us when we obey Him by participating in the things that please Him. You know what pleases Him for us to participate in? Holy things. When we assemble together as a church this morning, hey, it's pleasing to Him as we worship today. I'm going to keep preaching Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hey, it's just plain out right to come to the house of God and to worship God on a Sunday morning. Hey, it pleases Him and it praises Him and it honors Him, hey, that you and I are here this morning. It might not mean nothing to some people, but I'm going to tell you, hey, it means something to God when He looks and He sees a group of believers that have taken time and gathered together on a Sunday morning to honor Him, hey, to glorify Him in their lives and taking time to come to the house of God. He didn't put all that in the Bible just to fill in space. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside as God has prospered him. By our participation, I believe, in the assembly, hey, assembly should not be the end of our worship, though. Hey, but rather it ought to just be the beginning. Hey, you ought to have a place that throughout the week, hey, that you can worship, you can give glory to God. Hey, you can honor Him, and you can recognize Him in your life. When we leave this place, we're to be actively serving Him in whatever capacity that He's called us to be in. You know why our pews are empty this morning? Because we're not serving Him out here in this world. I said the reason our pews are empty is because we're not actively serving Him out here in this world. If we were doing our part and we were reaching out, if we were worshiping the way that we should and we were honoring God and glorifying Him, I promise you God will give you fruit for your labor. We're all just sheep. Sheep beget sheep. Whatever you might do, if you teach a Sunday school class, you've got to study to prepare to be able to get in the class and give the students something. If we preach, hey, we got to study and prepare, hey, to get up in the pulpit to proclaim the truths that God has given us to proclaim. by our participation. He's looking for people that will be participators and not just spectators. There's so many people that don't want to be involved. They don't want to go too far. Hey, they don't want to give too much up. Demonstrating God's Word. How do we demonstrate that which we know? By our profession, by our participation. And then by our posture. That Hebrew word for worship tells us what our posture should be towards the Lord. It means to fall prostrate or to bow down before Him. Psalm 95 verse 6 said, "Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." So, our posture, we should bow before God and worship Him. We're to praise Him. I mean, we're to lift up hands of praise to Him. Hey, but there's times when we're just to bow down and worship. The Bible said one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This world might not want to bow before Him today. Hey, but one of these days, friend, let me tell you, hey, this whole world is going to bow before Him and give Him the glory, the honor, the worship that He deserves. By our posture, and then fourthly, by our praise. Psalms 100, verse 4, I like that psalm. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13, the Bible said, Now therefore our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 said, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Hey, not just sometimes. Hey, but us as a child of God, we've been saved by the grace of God. Hey, Hebrews chapter 13 and 15 said, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Hey, I know we can praise Him in our heart, but every once in a while we all just praise Him with our lips just a little bit. Holding up holy hands to God and giving Him glory, giving Him praise, letting Him know that we realize that He deserves the glory that we can give Him today. Most people are too ashamed to praise God. Did you know that? And I know things get wild sometimes in places, but I'm going to tell you, hey, we ought to give Him praise every once in a while. Well, not let the charismatic, cheat us out of praising God and lifting up His name and giving Him the glory that He deserves this morning. Psalm 9 verse 2 said, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Psalms 22 verse 25 said, "My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him." Psalms 30 verse 12 said, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever." Psalm 42 verse 4 said, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." So, demonstrating God's Word through by our profession, by our participation, by our posture, by our praise, and then by our presence. By our presence. It's right to give back to God. It's right to give back to God. Hey, God blesses us with the ability that He's given us to be able to go out and make a living, to be able to function, to get wealth by the labor of our hands, that He's blessed us with the health to do those things, hey, with the mind, that He's given us the intelligence to be able to perform the things that we are able to do. If you got any kind of a gift to do something, God gave it to you. And if you're saved by the grace of God, hey, we ought to demonstrate God's Word, hey, by our presence, by our gift, hey, what we bring back, our tithe. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 96, verse 8 said, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts." Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11 said, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering, for My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." So we should be demonstrating God's worth through our presence of how He's blessed us, how He's given to us. Hey, that we do love Him, that we are concerned about the house of God. We're concerned about the missions and the different things that God is trying to accomplish through you and I. Demonstrating God's worth. And then number three, and lastly, declaring God's worth. Declaring God's worth. Hey, we should not only demonstrate God's worth in our public and private worship, hey, but we should declare God's worth to others as we go through this walk of life. Psalms 9, verse 11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings." In other words, what He's doing, declare those things. Hey, give a testimony of what God's doing in your life, in my life. What He's doing down at the house of God. Hey, it don't matter if we don't think nothing going on. Hey, there ought to be something that God is doing, hey, that we can share with others as we go through this life. We ought to get excited about being a part of the church. Most of the time, it just seems like drudgery that we're even got to go to church, you know. Hey, I'm going. There ain't many there. Hey, but I'm going to drag myself down there. I'm going to go pay homage to God today and get me a good feeling in my soul because I went. We all be excited about coming to the house of God. Sing praises to the Lord. Hey, if we just got a few, we ought to sing the best that we can. We ought to sing the best that we can. We ought to do the best that we can at whatever we do. Hey, we ought to cut the grass and weed eat the best that we can instead of just coming in and just knocking it out half-heartedly and go on. We ought to weed eat for Jesus. We ought to kill them weeds out there for Jesus, even though they're going to come back. Praise God, hey, we'll kill them again. Well, to clean the house, the church house, when we clean the church house, it ought not be a burden. It shouldn't be a burden. It ought to be a blessing to be able to come in and clean the house of God. We don't have enough money to pay somebody, so hey, the least we can do is just give a little time and come in and do it. We got summer ahead of us. We're going to have to cut grass. We're going to have to share that time. In our lives, the time that we think is so precious, hey, we're going to have to share that every few weeks to do some weed eating to keep the house of God looking good, declaring God's worth. We should declare what the doings of God. I hadn't seen that till just then. Sing praises to the Lord which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. What's He doing in your life? What's He doing in our church life? Psalm 73, verse 28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all Thy works." Well, to have something to tell every once in a while, you know it. If we're close to God and we're doing something, we're praising God, we're giving Him glory, hey, we're trying to accomplish something for Him, hey, we ought to have a story to tell every once in a while. I've heard a lot of people that's told stories, and I just stand back, and it's just hard to believe some of them. But I'm going to tell you, if we was doing something, we'd have some stories to tell. And they might be some unbelievable stories that would come out of our lips of what God has done and what He's accomplished. I can't get this one right, but I read in William Grady's book about this gentleman. I can't even remember his name. I wish I'd have wrote his name down and remembered it. But he gave out tracts. he was a well-known individual. I mean, he gave out chick tracts all over the place. And he went, him and his wife, they went and got a small plane. They went over to the Vatican, wherever that said. I can't remember where I read that it was at. They had, I forget how many thousand tracts that they had. They flew up. He come out of a Catholic church. They flew up and they circled around. They liked to got in trouble about it. They circled around and they threw out all those tracks out of that little airplane. And them tracks was flying everywhere. Why? He wanted to get the gospel to those Catholics that he knew that if they were believing and trusting in the system of worship that they had, hey, that they were dying and going to hell. It's a good story of what God did. I mean, there was tracks flying around in the plane with the windows open, them little old planes that he took flying lessons and learned to fly a plane so he could do that. And then he got to talking after that about going and flying over some Muslim country and throwing tracks out, and they talked him down from it because he never would have probably got down on the ground again. But that's what happens when we draw nigh, near to God, and put our trust in the Lord God. Then we'll be able to declare all thy works of what God's done. Psalms 96 verse 3 said, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Psalms 145 verse 4 said, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. So how do we declare his worth in this world that we're living in today? Number one, we declare it in our lives. What has God done for you and I? Hey, has He forever changed our life? Has He given us a desire to accomplish and do something for Him? Hey, to bring glory to Him? Hey, to see sinners saved? Bring those that are lost to Him? So how do we declare His worth in our lives? Number two, in our love for Him. We know what we love. You know what you love. People know what you and I love. What's important in our lives. Not only we declare His worth in our lives and in our love, but also with our lips. With our lips. Hey, God gave us a tongue. He gave us lips and a mouth to proclaim the glories of God and what He's done in our lives. What He's done in our life and what He wants to do in our hearts this morning. Seeking God who is worthy to be praised. Hey, if there's ever been time we need to seek God, I believe it's in 2023. I'm going to tell you, old-time religion and the preaching of this book, the truth of this book, is about over. I'm glad God's got a remnant. We're not the only ones. God told Elijah, He said, Lord, I'm the only one left of Thy servant. And God said, Elijah, I've got 7,000. It's not bad to need a bell. But you know, if we're not careful, we get to think, hey, Lord, we're the only ones that's holding on, holding out. We need to seek God in our lives, in our children's lives. We need to declare God's worth in this world that we're living in, that they might see something, that they might see something that will forever change their life. Give God glory in whatever you do. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that we live in a country, Lord, where we can come and gather and worship in freedom this morning, Lord, and I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to not never get to that point and place where we wouldn't give You the glory and the praise and the worship, Lord, that You deserve. God, I thank You for saving our wretched souls, Lord, and for sending Your Son to die upon the cross, Lord, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to declare the glory of God to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to be that witness that we should be. Lord, help us to be faithful in all these areas, Lord, that we've mentioned this morning. God, that you might get glory and you might accomplish something through our feeble lives, Lord, today. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. Go with us and meet back with us this evening for just a little while as we come back this afternoon. God, I pray that you just ever speak to our hearts through the day. Help us to draw closer to you by being here today. And help us look for the opportunities that you place before us to witness. Have your way, and we'll give you glory. We'll give you the praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, amen.